Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also at 855-282-8255. The Cardinals and the Reds played a makeup game from a rainout from back in April this afternoon at Busch Stadium. The Cardinals defeating the Reds 8-2. You don't say that too often, the Cardinals defeating the Reds, but they did 8-2 before they head out to a very tough series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That team is just finally coming together for Tony La Russa. Feel good for Paul Goldschmidt, man. He's been playing some really good baseball for a long time, some really bad teams, and they're finally looking pretty good. Randall Grichuk, second game back, batting in the two-hole tonight, another home run for the Stallion.
No, I will not. I will not let this Brendan Schaefer ridiculousness. I love the kid. Does great yeoman's work on the early shows here, Frank Cusimano, and the midday grind. He's a great follow. Just, man, just got a blue check mark. Hard not to argue with that. But we will not be bringing his ridiculous nicknames onto this show. No!
Too late.
We're not starting this Stallion thing. It's not happening. First of all.
What?
We cannot be doing that. I was going to say, first of all, can't be bringing that nickname on to this show when there's already a nickname for somebody on this show. Back up off me,
oh,
Randall Grichuk.
Who's the Stallion that's already on the show?
It's you? Italian Stallion.
Italian Stallion? Yeah.
Matt Berger. Jesus, come on. No.
You have that tatted on you someplace?
God, no. I'm being completely facetious. The Stallion is just as bad for Grichuk. Okay, it's not as bad as if you use it for me, but it's pretty still bad. It's still a pretty bad nickname. He looked good out there. We knew he can hit home runs. We know when he catches the ball, he can send it, you know, 469 feet, but that's not really what I wanted to see from Randall Grichuk coming back up. I mean, I wanted to see that, but I mean, the thing we got to worry about now is 10 games down the line. Has he struck out 27 times?
I don't think anybody. Please don't be telling me that he's fixed, because I don't think he's fixed.
No, obviously. I mean, it's good to see this. And honestly, at this point in his career, I think we've all come to expect the fact of he might be who he is, which is if he can hit 30 home runs. Well, you got to be able to, first of all, hit 30 home runs, but also strike out. We expect a lot of strikeouts, but it's got to be a point where it's not going to be detrimental to the team. So at this point, I'm happy to see this. I don't care if he strikes out. If he strikes out a bunch, I just hope it's not to the point where it's going to be hurting the team. I have no problem with Randall Grichuk if he's your sixth hitter. If he's bombing him out, that doesn't bother me at this point. The Blues, I mean, the Cardinals, obviously you want to see them develop a real three- or four-hole hitter. That's been their problem for 3 years now. They don't have any real strong hitters there in the middle of the order. You like to see them develop that, but at this point, with how disappointed we've become with Randall Grichuk this season, I'm just looking for him to become a plus role player for the Cardinals, and that means obviously top defense in the outfield and then some home runs.
I kind of want to see him maybe increase his trade value too. That's another thing I'm like.
Well, I mean, I guess you can always look at it that
maybe
way.
Maybe increase his trade value.
I mean, if he gets better and you might be able to look at him as a potential role player for the Cardinals, that means his trade value has increased. So I mean, they all go hand in hand. If he gets to the point where he has enough power relative to his strikeouts that he's a useful player in your lineup, then obviously his role across the whole MLB is increasing with that. So, yes, I believe we're all just pretty much saying here, Randall Grichuk become a passable MLB player so we can either use you or trade you.
I understand where the Cardinal fans are coming from when they're talking about not conceding the season. I kind of do. I mean, like, look, there's something kind of nice about, you know, never saying die and saying, hey, you know what? In the playoffs, anything can happen.
What's nice about missing the playoffs by three games?
Okay, but here's what my point is. Let's say you do win the division. Do you really see this Cardinals team going on any kind of deep playoff run with the talent that's on the roster right now? I don't. And here's the thing
about the Major League Baseball playoffs. You get in, it's anybody's game from there, Member. We'll have more talk about the odds of the Cardinals back in 11.
But next year, I mean, is this team going to look exactly the same as it does now? What's going to be any different? Then if you win the division this year, then you're going to convince yourself that maybe you're on the right track, and then you go into the next season with pretty much the same roster and have the same struggles. You see what I'm saying? Like, I want to be competitive. I'd rather be competitive like in 2018, 19, and 20 as opposed to win a very bad Central Division in 2017 and win or lose in the first round of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, I'm exactly there, and then obviously I'm not talking about, you know, going full Astros on this season and just tanking it out to try to get a good draft pick.
You know what the Astros are right now? The Astros are probably the best team in Major League Baseball.
That's fine, but
it's not exactly the worst thing.
It is, because they had to suck for 4 years to get there.
Why don't the Cardinals there? Only they need to suck for 4 years.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to pull an Astros like rebuild. You're also not going. Yes, the problem with not pulling an Astros like rebuild is you're not going to pull a bunch of George Springers out of your ass.
That's a problem too.
Okay, so I mean, if you want high level talent, you're going to have to suck or pay for it. My point is that they're not going to be that bad at no point. I'm not suggesting they need to bottom out like that. I am saying that there needs to be a realistic amount of expectations, and you need to treat your roster building concerns with a realistic amount of expectation. And again, like you're saying, I'm not trying to build. I don't think they should build this team to lose in the second round of the playoffs this year. That's a mistake, I think. And while you can throw out the stuff about, you know, they've been competitive now for 15 straight years, and, well, you don't want to go back to the years of the 90s when you weren't getting all the attendance you are getting now. At the same time, this is the smart move. This is a reset, you know. Understand the fact that there might be a year or two without playoffs. It's also not, you know, early 2000s Pirates bad where you're winning, you know, 60 games over here. So it's not going to be unwatchable baseball. And yes, we're Cardinal fans, and so people are going to be, you know, a little snooty about the defense and the pitching and things like that.
The base running.
And yes, those are tough things. That's hard to watch a crappy team do that. My point is that we need to stop letting the good games that happen two, maybe twice a week outweigh the other four bad nights of the week. And realize that this team is incredibly flawed. Do they have talent?
The team,
yes.
The team does not seem like it's on the
flawed.
Right track.
It's just that it's a flawed team. There's the little things that you have to do well to be more than just another team. This team doesn't do, and it's not just good defense. It's not just base running. It's also things like having the power in your lineup to the point where teams have to pitch around you in critical moments. You know, we talked about it. I think JJ used a perfect comparison as to why the Blues are so screwed. Remember, I mean, not the Blues, like you said, the Blues, I don't know why. Why the Cardinals are so screwed. The Cardinals didn't have an incredible lineup when they were down in Houston that year with Albert Pujols and those guys, but they knew that
Pujols,
that if you could just get to the Pujols, if David Eckstein could get the base hit, they had somebody that could even things out if you could just get to them. They completely have missed that from their lineup. I'm not saying they're going to get it from nowhere, but my point is that this team is broken. They don't have that in their lineup. They don't have other things. They don't have multiple starters that you can consistently rely on getting you six innings each game. This team is flawed. It's not winning a championship. It's not happening. The difference between this team in 2006, when that team was flawed, is that that team was simply playing below their line. This team, I don't think, is doing that in any way, shape, or form.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have won 10 games in a row. They're the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Cody Bellinger, man, just hand that kid the Rookie of the Year right now. 24 home runs so far this year for Cody Bellinger. It's amazing how...
Matt Berger, are Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge ruining the MLB? I mean, we're not even at the All-Star break yet, and we already know who's winning these awards. Is it even that fun? I mean, come on, we already know who's winning the Rookie of the Year. Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger, I'm telling you what, I'm tired of seeing so much fun. It's too much fun, Matt Berger. It's getting in the way of me enjoying the mediocrity of the rest of the league.
It could be fun if they're the home run derby with Giancarlo Stanton.
Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. I'm showing the people whine about stupid things. It's a lot of fun, though. I mean, the Dodgers just have a knack for this. I mean, it's been that way all throughout their entire franchise history.
They have more rookies than any other major franchise.
It's the way that it's centered around things. The Midday Grind was talking about it last week. They have a period of four in a row in the middle of the 80s, and then they have a period of five in a row in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now we're running off. Remember now obviously last year we had Seager. Remember a few years ago when they had Puig was coming up? Did he win the award? Or did he just make a big splash?
He just made a big splash.
He came up a little bit later. He didn't win the award. But, I mean, that's another young player from the Dodgers making a big splash. They just kind of got a knack out there in L.A. For coming up with these shiny new toys. And I'll tell you what, if there's one franchise who it's a good thing to have, you know, new 21-year-olds coming up and rocking, it's the L.A. Dodgers. The L.A. crowd loves it. Every couple of years, they get a new 21-year-old to fawn over.
Hey, you know what? Not a bad place to be a 22-year-old stud baseball player millionaire, Los Angeles.
I don't care if you have to play in Montreal. Your pro baseball player is not a bad place to be.
Okay, but you would argue or you would agree that there are some places better than others.
Oh.
And Los Angeles, not a bad place to be.
Yeah, that kid, I'm insanely jealous of that kid. Are you serious?
Oh, my God, yes.
And plus, something as easy as hitting home runs in the Major League Baseball has never come as easy to me as it comes. Like, nothing in the world has come as easy to me as it appears as hitting 400-foot home runs does to Cody Bellinger in the MLB. It's ridiculous.
Tough six games coming up for the Cardinals. They head to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks for three. And then for the weekend series, the Washington Nationals and the Miami Marlins for the 4th of July. So, when they come back from Arizona, do you think they've won two of the three, one of the three? They got swept. What do you think?
Oh, they'll win one of the three, and they'll be happy for it.
I think you're right about that one. Then when they get to Washington, when Washington plays here, the thing with Washington is that you get to their bullpen.
Watch that one. Cardinals pull out
two out of three of that one. Or something
if
like
they
that.
Sweep the Nationals, and then of course the next conversation is for a week as well. Maybe this Cardinals team can make it to the playoffs,
which is so frustrating. Like I said,
again, do not let the two good days a week weigh out the four bad ones. Because, again, this team is flawed, and I just don't see them doing much. I'm not saying you need to make some giant blow-it-up move.
Big Boss of NoCo wants to know, hey, when are you going to break down the NBA awards that you just talked to that Australian guy about that nobody cares about because everything already happened, asking for a friend? We can do that right now if you want.
Yeah, sure, why not?
What's fine? Let's do it right now. Coach of the Year, who do you think is going to win it?
Well, really quickly before we jump on to this, just so I don't look like an absolute fool, because they've already put out the finalists for the NBA awards, so I'm making sure that I don't actually give you an award outside of the three people who have been decided as the finalists, but I believe it was Eric Spoelstra, Greg Popovich, and do you have any idea who the third person was?
Brad Stevens. Am I guessing?
Brad Stevens?
That's what I'm guessing.
I believe you're correct that he was the third one. That makes a lot of sense. Coach of the Year, yes, it was...
Eric Spoelstra deserves the
win. Yeah, Mike D'Antoni. No, excuse me, Mike D'Antoni, Greg Popovich, or Eric Spoelstra.
Okay.
Brad Stevens was not in it, despite the fact that he had the number one seed in the conference that has LeBron James in it, and he wasn't coaching the team with LeBron James. D'Antoni, Popovich, Spoelstra. I'm actually going to go with the guy who I think should be MVP. I'm going with Mike D'Antoni. Literally, that was a team that people thought coming into the season was going to lose 50 games, and they won 50 games. That's an incredible turnaround from D'Antoni. He did it with Harden, a bunch of pieces. That was an incredible run, what the Rockets did this year. Obviously, it ended in a very unfortunate way when they get blown out at home by a Parkerless and Kawhi-less Spurs team. But I'm giving it to Mike D'Antoni.
Call me a Heat homer, but I'm giving it to Eric Spoelstra.
Oh, my God. Doesn't he have like four of those already?
Okay, but when you look at who's on that roster and how horrible that team started out, in the second half of the season, there was not a hotter team in the NBA than the Miami Heat. Look at the players that are on that team. Deion Waiters and Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside. I mean, they're okay players, but they're not exactly a who's who of NBA talent. And to coach them, yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. That's the big knock. And in the East, where almost everybody makes the playoffs, the team didn't make it. But I would give that award to Eric Spoelstra because it's kind of like the Freddie Shoup argument in that movie Summer School, where their grades went from like a 33% F to a 52% F. They're still failing, but hey, he coached them up to where they about as good as it was going to get, and that's coaching and that's teaching. So I would give the award to Eric Spoelstra, but like I said, call me a Heat homer. MVP,
Heat homer.
MVP, I know that you and I have already talked about it. You would give the award to James Harden.
Yes.
I would give the award to Russell Westbrook, but I mean, if they give it to James Harden, am I going to be
just
that upset?
Sucker for stats.
If they give the award to James Harden, am I going to be that upset? No, I will not be.
How about this one? This is the one I think is kind of fun. Rookie of the Year. Malcolm Brogdon, Joel Embiid, or Dario Saric. Now, mind you, Joel Embiid played, 30 games this season? Despite the fact that in those 30 games, he averaged a ridiculous double-double.
Yeah, but you got to play more than just 30-something games, though, if you're gonna win the Roy.
Oh, hot take alert. You got to play more than 30-something games if you want to win the Roy.
I would give it to Brogdon.
Really? 20? Again, I know it was only 31 games, but 20 points, 7.8 rebounds, two assists per game, and 2.5 blocks per game. 31 games, but that's not
He's
per
amazing.
36. That's unbelievable.
No, everybody really enjoyed Joel Embiid. Finally, like, okay, everybody's like, finally, this is what we've been waiting for. This great basketball talent to finally be healthy in the NBA. Everybody enjoyed watching him play, and then, bam, foot problem. Hopefully it's not going to be something that's going to play again for the rest of his career, but I have a feeling it's going to. But if I had a choice, I would give the award to Malcolm Brogdon out of Milwaukee.
You're giving it to the president. I'm going to go with Dario Saric. We were just talking about the crazy amount of talent that the Balkans region is sending to the NBA. Dario Saric is another big example of it. The Croatian Super Dario, if you will, came over. He was drafted 2 years ago. He comes over this year, and despite all the talk about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I think he ended up playing 81 games. He started in 36, averaged 13.6 rebounds, and 2 assists as a 6'9 forward. A lot of people weren't talking about him because, again, he just, you know, was one of those draft and stash players that no one ever thinks is actually going to come to fruition. I'm going with Dario Saric over Brogdon in a close one.
NBA All-Defensive Teams also came out, too. You have Draymond Green, Rudy Gobert, yep. Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, and Patrick Beverley. They are the first team. The second team, Tony Allen. How's that guy keep doing it at his age? Tony Allen's just unbelievable.
He can't shoot, but he can play some defense.
You're right about that. That's the best way to describe Tony Allen. Danny Green. Now, I'm hearing that's who Cleveland may try to get hold of.
They want 3 and D
Danny
players.
Green. What's that?
They want 3 and D players.
Absolutely. Someone who can shoot the three and someone who can defend the perimeter. So Tony Allen, Danny Green, or Anthony Davis out of New Orleans, Andre Robertson out of Oklahoma City, and the Greek Freak out of Milwaukee. So you know who I'm not seeing on either one of these lists?
Who are you not seeing?
I am not seeing your boy that you think is going to lock down KD.
Oh, Paul George.
I am not seeing Paul George on either one of these lists.
I do not believe I ever said the word lockdown, you liar.
You might as well have said lockdown.
I'm sorry, but I believe your statement was that I said the word lockdown. Now it's changed all of a sudden to I might have said lockdown. Your story's not adding up, Mr. Berger. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that you would come at me with these kind of lies. Honestly, my big question on this one, I think this is always one of the most fun awards when you look at most improved player, and I think it's also a big deal because they have three players that are a lot of fun to watch because you don't get excited about big men anymore, and yet all three of these guys are pretty much seven-footers. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert, and the one that no one ever talks about but I won't shut up about, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets.
Karl-Anthony Towns, too, out of Minnesota.
He wasn't not a finalist, though.
Not a finalist.
You're talking about a big man up there, but those are the finalists for most improved player. I'm actually going to have to go against my boy Giannis on this one.
TJ, I'm sorry, texting in, can't St. Louis support the NBA? I think TJ, I'm sorry, asked this about every other night, because we talk about the NBA every night.
Man, TJ, I'm sorry. I hope we can. I think we can. It would have been nice, as Mark said at the very beginning of the show, to have something like Big Three to come through here to give us a chance. I know every once in a while we get a preseason game, but I personally think the NBA doesn't do anything to try to hype those up. And so I think that's just as much their fault as it is ours.
Special thanks to...